Thank you, Mr. Javier. With all of those songs that he chose in the opening prayer, I might as well just sit down because they took my topic. Just about. But I think we can still find something to say. Ever since David Holliday gave his two sermons on worshiping God in spirit and truth, I've been thinking a lot recently. Now, no, that's not a joke for those of you who know me. I have been thinking. And sometimes when we think about God, which is what this was all designed for, God can be too large for us to comprehend, perhaps too awesome or too powerful or even too distant, because, well, God is mighty. God is to be exalted, just like Mr. Reisdorf was saying. Anyway, sometimes it seems so when we try to think about God. Let's turn over to Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. And we'll look in verses 5 through 7 initially. And God inspires Isaiah to write, "I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace, I create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things." And then across the page, at least in my Bible, in verses 18 through 19, Isaiah continues to write what God inspires. "For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it and did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right." We can read this whole chapter, and we can also read where God speaks to Job at the end of the book, where he challenges Job and says, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? You know, were you here and did you give me instructions?" You know, there are a lot of scriptures about God, and all we can say is, wow. You know, sometimes it is that God seems very large and very awesome to our minds, beyond what our human mind can comprehend. In John, the first few verses of John, it says that this very God that we have just read about in Isaiah made all things, being Jesus Christ, made all things by him and for him. And even that Jesus Christ, as God, can sometimes be beyond our grasp because of his divine origins. One of the terms that is used and associated with Jesus and his relationships with man is the term grace. Grace. Now, grace is a New Testament word, but it has its origins or foundations in the Old Testament. One of the words, if you want to write it down, it's in Strong's number 2617, and it comes from a root 2616. But the word chesed means kindness or favor or good deed or loving kindness. The root of chesed means to bow the neck in courtesy to an equal. In the New Wilson's Old Testament word studies, the word is defined as this: the full flow of natural affection. It is used of the goodness and abundant grace of God. You can also read in Vines and his definitions, but it implies involvement, it implies commitment, to be in a relationship beyond the rule of law, outside of law, beyond law. Law may be the foundation, but this goes beyond law. In Isaiah and Job, God is presented, as we have seen, in superlative tones, in larger than human life tones. There is one example, though, that I find very interesting that expresses grace more than anything. And that's what we're going to see in a little bit. If you would, turn over to Leviticus 13. Leviticus 13. Leviticus 13. In verses 45 and 46. This is talking about people afflicted with leprosy. In verse 45, it says, "Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn, and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, 'Unclean, unclean!' He shall be unclean. All the days he has that sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside of the camp." In Jesus' day, in the early New Testament, the closest a leper could come is 6 feet from a person. 6 feet. So that's about maybe 3 chairs wide where you're sitting there. That's as close as a leper could be. They were a pariah. They weren't allowed to be with normal humans as such. However, this same person, the same being that gave this law to Moses, gave this law and regulation, did something on his own that shouts of grace, that shouts of love, that shouts of mercy. A very simple thing. Turn over to Mark 1. Mark 1. And we're going to read verses 1 or 40 through 42. Mark 1, 40 through 42. It can also be found in a couple of other places. "Now a leper came to him, Jesus, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.'" If you are willing, you can make me clean. "Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.'" We notice the leper's hope and the leper's faith. Here, this leper could not be within 6 feet of any normal Jew or Israelite. Yet he came before Jesus on his knees saying, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." The leper recognized what he was, who he was, what his condition was. He was truly humble. And Jesus, this very being that we just read about in Isaiah, that we have read about in Job, stretched out his arm, reached out within those 6 feet, reached out and touched this leper, touched him that was unclean, without a hesitation, without any argument, without any justification, and said, "I am willing, be clean." This very God that created all of the physical and spiritual realms, described as unique, without rival or competition, who rained fire down on Sodom and Gomorrah, who burned up the offerings that Elijah gave, who did many, many miracles. This very God is the same one that reached out and touched the leper and says, I am willing, be clean. This is the God that we worship. This is the God that we serve. There is none like him.